So we can get started with the normal housekeeping stuff, and then hopefully people will join. I don't want to keep you guys. So why don't I just do the official roll call? I'll just call out your names and stuff you're here. So Sherry Guthrie-Barron, Mark Wyatt.
Here.
Nick Doster. Amy Granberry.
Here.
Donnie Van Ryswick.
Here.
And Jimmy Carmichael. Oh, wait, and Kenneth Darden. I didn't think I missed him. Okay. So thank you guys for getting on the line. And the first order of business, as usual, is the approval of the meeting minutes. And these are our April 22nd conference call minutes. Are there any changes or additions?
I didn't have any, so they look fine to me.
Does someone want to, is that your motion, Mark?
Oh, yeah, I'll move it up.
Okay, all right. Is there a second?
I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Woo! Okay.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
So, all right, so that is that. And like last time, I wanted to just give you guys a quick update on where we are since that last meeting. As you can see that on April 22nd, as you know, we've discussed Chapter 5's coordination barriers. And right now I'm in the process of using the feedback from your meeting as well as the Policy and Barriers Committee's April 30th conference call meeting, which was on the same chapter, and compiling those to create a draft of that chapter. Which will be, I think, substantial. It's turning out to be a larger chapter than Chapter 8, just because it's a lot of feedback from the public forums was on identifying barriers and challenges. So we have a lot of feedback that we can to that chapter. Oh, did we have someone join? Did someone come on? Oh, this is beeping. Okay. So that is where I am right now in terms of compiling Chapter 5, and I promise you I will try to get it to you sooner than I got Chapter 8 to you. I'm sorry that I only gave you about 24 hours to chapter before this meeting, and so I will definitely try to get Chapter 5 to you farther in advance.
And that's not Ashley's fault, that's my fault. I was out of town and couldn't review it. This is Elizabeth. So.
But we're steaming forward here with our chapters. So, that is staff, what staff's doing currently. And I wanted to then, I mean, I guess we can just go into quickly the biennial plan Chapter 8 draft. And like I said, I'm sorry that I gave you such a small time to review it, but I would like to use this meeting see what I've missed, what maybe could be worded a bit differently, if there's anything that we want to make sure is changed. I want to make sure that opinions are heard. And obviously this is round one of, I'm sure will be many rounds of drafts. So please let me know what you think, any comments, any questions, anything.
Well, this is Mark. I thought you did a great job. There were a few that I just wasn't that familiar with, but overall, I like all the options. I think they're not so ambitious that they're not practical.
Well, I'm sorry, Mark, if I could just say, because I forgot to say it. I just want to give you guys a preface for how I set this up, the chapter.
Uh-huh.
What I did was I looked back at both our April 6th meeting where we had invited the local providers to come and speak and got their testimony, as well as during the public forum process, the testimony that we received regarding this specific issue. And so what I tried to do was make sure that whatever, in terms of whatever main themes that came up or categories that came up, I put those categories down, and then I put in the feedback that we received so people can get an idea of what, you know, the reason why we're bringing up the issues that we're bringing up within the plan. And so each subsection is kind of a category or themes that kept coming up at the public forums and at the April 6th meeting of the committee. And then based on that feedback that we received, what recommendations we'd like to make. And as you can see, you know, I wrote it more in a narrative fashion. I did not do, you know, the bullet points or, you know, an outline. And so I do want to make sure that people are okay with this format or what they think about this format, if we should change it, if there's anything, if you think that it's not going to be clear for the audience that this is intended for, which is the governor and the legislature, as well as the governing boards of our respective state agencies that are represented. So I would like to get feedback as well on the formatting of the document.
I think the format works well. I think one thing that would make it more clear to me is to go ahead and identify the person and the agency affiliation for each of these comments, because it often says we or I, and without knowing who's providing that testimony, I got a little confused.
Okay, and the thing about that is I didn't, and I'm sure that I can get clarification from our legal department. I wanted to make sure that that was something that I could do without having to contact each of those people who I'm using the quotes of to get their approval.
Okay, and if not, even like a general description, for example, case manager with an organization that serves older adults.
Thank you. Okay.
That's a good suggestion. And did someone else come on the line?
Nick.
Hi, hey, Nick.
Hi.
So we're just going over the Chapter 8 draft right now, Nick. So Donnie, I will definitely take that into account, and I think that's a good idea to give maybe a general description of the title and the organization and do it that way so that people aren't confused by the quotes that are presented. Anything else? Well, not anything else. Give me feedback.
Yeah, I would think that when folks give public testimony that it becomes public information at that point.
I think you're right, Johnny.
Obviously, the attorneys and need to check all and not.
Actually, like your idea better, just the general, you know, a manager from such and such agency, you know. We can talk about that. We'll first find out whether, you know, we're 100% sure we can use the names, and then we'll vet that through later.
Mm-hmm. So beyond that, I mean, I think that the recommendations are really where we want to make sure that we are all on the same page. So we can certainly go through it section by section. The first section is about education and training resources, and there were two main two, right? Recommendations that were given?
Two.
Yeah. And one was the training module that we talked about, and the second was the reference guide that kind of, those two kind of go hand in hand because they're about the same information. And I want to make sure that the scope of the recommendation was what we were looking for, or if there's anything we need to add, delete, change.
I didn't have a chance to review this yet. I was out of the office yesterday, but
okay.
The recommendations make sense. One of the things that we might want to consider under number two, where it talks about easy-to-use provider reference guide, we may want to say that, and this is the second sentence, very bottom of page two, this guide should be updated, I would say, at least annually, because if some programs are discontinued and, you know, whoever the keeper of the curriculum is, I think as soon as they're notified, it would be good to go ahead and, you know, drop obsolete information. And I think annual is the very longest you want to go, but I think it would be nice to have a procedure to make updates as there are significant changes in programs, either current programs being dropped, restructured, or new programs being added.
Okay.
We should have something added about the procedure for making for updating this guide. I mean, because I hear what you're saying, and I think that, you know, I don't know how specific we want to get in the plan about who does the duties that we're recommending. So I guess that's the question I did have for you guys: is how specific do you want to get about the who the responsibility would fall upon for these recommendations?
I would think not very.
Any other thoughts on that? Consensus? Disagreement?
Yeah, I agree with not very specific. You get into telling people how to do it, it gets complicated.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep it the level we have it.
Did one other person come on the line?
Someone just joined us a minute ago. Oh, okay. Okay. So thank you for that. Then the next section is the local-to-local networking. And I know that at our April 6th meeting, we talked about how many times local organizations already know each other and have familiarity with one another. But I think that, you know, there were some comments that we received during the public forums regarding the need to connect those housing organizations that all know each other and those service organizations that all know each other, but the housing and the service haven't connected. So I think that was a theme that I heard. And another theme that I heard that is specific to rural communities is capacity building for rural communities. And, you know, that's something that, you know, it's definitely a kind of sub-issue that goes across all of what we're going to be recommending in this plan is the rural versus urban dichotomy. But I kind of just fleshed it out here and made a specific recommendation for rural communities. So are there any comments or thoughts about the two recommendations for the local to local section?
This is Mark. I didn't see, are we, under that one, are we kind of committing to attend those, the participants here, or should you put something like that in?
Do you mean the council members, or do you mean?
Yeah. I knew it. I didn't really spot that, and I.
No, I had. It wasn't. It wasn't my intent to, like, again, in terms of specificity of who's responsible.
Okay.
I didn't want to specify that the council would.
So we would be. Would we be invited in those type of forums? Would we be invited guests of the local?
I think so, and I
okay.
think. And I think, but I think that the way that I wanted to frame it is that amongst all of the state agencies that are represented on this council, there are a large range of field offices out there across the state. I mean, I was thinking actually like DARS has quite a few. I know that those agencies that have local intake offices, there are lots of field offices out there. And so I thought that it would behoove us to face the hosting responsibility on the state agency, but not necessarily the responsibility to make the networking. We're setting the place and giving them the invitation, and we want them to be able to do the networking without the state interfering too much in the local-to-local networking.
I see. Okay.
And so, I mean, I think that, Amy, some of what this recommendation I pulled from kind of what you said, which was that, you know, having another state agency administrator for something may not be as helpful as just bringing people together to the same table.
Right, definitely.
Okay, so yeah, so we'll just have, you know, I think that it's good to say that the state agency plays host and makes invitations but doesn't necessarily administer or interfere if you think that's the way it is with the networking.
Okay, any other thoughts about these recommendations? Any problems or anything?
Okay, actually, I'm going to have to read more detail. I kind of skimmed it last night, but I was tied up all day. But I'll get something to you before our meeting Monday.
Okay, yeah, and you know, I wanted to give the option of submitting email feedback. Like, if you want to just do track changes into the document.
Okay.
For comment, just put comment boxes into the document. I want to give everyone the opportunity to do that because I know that, I know that you probably just skimmed it. So please, definitely before our next conference call, please submit that feedback electronically. And that way I can have it ready and then have a more updated version of the chapter available for the next conference call. Okay. All right. So just wanted to then go on to the next section about the reaching outreach to consumers. And that's where I brought up the website that we've been discussing, kind of an information clearinghouse website. Also some type of printed easy pamphlets or brochures geared toward consumers. And then the last recommendation I made was actually not something that the council had recommended, but had been recommended by the stakeholders. And that was, you know, sometimes there is a middleman between the local provider and the consumer, and that's the landlord or property manager. And to make sure that we are not forgetting that they're important gatekeepers in this process. So any thoughts? I know that you guys have just skimmed it, but any first thoughts?
Amy, this is Mark. It's as we develop these pamphlets in the various sections, and I know you have down the ideally a new website or maybe using or enhancing the existing one with HHSC. Is there kind of like are we going to have like a, I don't know, I was thinking like a fallback. If we develop the literature and the web doesn't fully materialize, is there another location, kind of common location, or I was just trying to think of where I guess we could all put it on our own web pages. That's a little hard for people to find.
Yeah, so you're saying if the brochure references the website and the website never gets made.
Well, and also is there kind of, I don't know, is TDHA going to have like a fallback portion of their web page for this, or is...
I think that's a good idea that on the council's part of the web that page, yeah, maybe having something there.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea because whether or not this website recommendation comes to fruition, we will still have our council's webpage.
Yeah, and then the other thing is if people kind of take the lead in developing it, I think other agencies would appreciate seeing what's been developed, so maybe they can model a similar brochure. I know they're not all, we talked about them not all having the same, you know, structure and getting too constraining, but still it's nice to see what other people are putting up so that there's some guidance, and so if you would get some developed, you could post them there, and I think that might help us a little bit. You know, we have our own pamphlet, and I'm sure everyone here does, but it's not necessarily geared to the same audience as
right,
we're talking,
yeah,
about here.
A good idea.
So,
sure.
I'm just, I guess, trying to borrow because we're not as familiar with delivering to individuals as maybe some other agencies are. We deal with jurisdictions and COGS and different types of entities as opposed to individuals or service providers. So
I understand that.
Our message is, it looks a little different, and it's more focusing on, you know, how to apply at the jurisdiction level as opposed to an individual, you know, trying to get some, get their foot in the door and figure out how to navigate the maze of benefits.
Sure. And I think that it's understandable that this brochure may be more heavily geared towards certain programs of certain agencies than others. And I think that that's why we're offering both the option of what we're gearing towards the provider as well as what we're gearing towards the consumer, and that there's both available. But that's a great idea about having the council page be a part of this recommendation. So I will definitely add that.
It certainly guarantees some success without being dependent on, you know, a lot of extra web design or something. I mean, you got a little bit more control over your own destiny that way.
We have sort of templates or everybody else's brochures there to sort of, so everybody can use and share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it would also, the external links might be helpful because some of the agencies may be able to explain the programs to consumers or help them apply. And, I would think that would be certainly to TDHCA's benefit as well as, you know, other agencies as well.
Okay, definitely. I like the inclusion of the landlords as an information source. In reading over the third section at the bottom of page 6, I do have some reservations about the language that is in the second paragraph, and this is out of pure self-interest. My agency has a contract with DABS to provide nursing home relocation services.
Okay.
And the sentence that makes me nervous is the second to last sentence on page 6. These contractors hire relocation specialists to perform activities related to community transition in a landlord orientation would be a required responsibility.
Sure.
It is extremely difficult for us to get the bare minimum from a landlord. In order for us to pay rent, we have to get a W-9 and an invoice. We have landlords that refuse to cooperate in any way. They're not accepting a large number of consumers. It's usually one tenant only. And they have reservations a lot of times about writing the lease in the first place. And if we tell them that they have to go through a mandatory orientation in order to have a tenant move in who's usually low income, usually frail, I think the unintended consequence is that landlords are not going to accept any of our consumers. So I think it's a great idea to offer them information, but to make it mandatory.
Can I clarify, Donnie? Just a second, sorry, because I think that maybe it's in the wording that I've confused you. I didn't want the landlord orientation be required of the landlord. What I was wanting is that part of the relocation specialist's duties, as part of their duties by contract with DADS, would be that they had an orientation presentation that they could give. I mean, like, I don't want it to make it feel like the landlord has the requirement. I was thinking that the specialist had the requirement.
Okay.
And so I guess I should reword that to make sure that we're clear, because I think you're right. I think that we need to make it maybe this is kind of going down to the way that we've talked about making it person-centric and on an individual level, that it really does need to be on a case-by-case basis when this landlord is taking this person for the relocation specialist to determine whether, well, you know, what kind of orientation could be given. So I don't know. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. I will change that language. Thank you for that. Any other thoughts there? Okay. Well, that's page 6. That's all I wrote.
Actually, I did have a couple of thoughts, and one of them, unfortunately, is backtracking.
Okay. Sorry about it. That's good.
Well, the first thing, the major concern of mine, and, you know, we may not have really explicitly discussed this a whole lot, but I think one of the issues is that the state agencies don't know what each other are doing. And I think that that's kind of weaved into some of the other recommendations, but I think...
I think that will be Chapter 7.
Oh, okay.
The state-to-state chapter, because I realize that this, I know that we, in a way, are working in reverse, because I think Chapter 8, it kind of is with Chapter 7 in mind, you can have Chapter 8.
What is Chapter 7?
Chapter 7 is the state-to-state education and training. That hasn't been a discussion that we have held yet, and I think that we should definitely get into that. Probably the next conference call we can make that happen, because I totally understand what you're saying, Nick, is that we have to have the state-to-state conversation in order for some of these recommendations to work.
Okay, that's fine with me. If it's to be discussed, then I have no problem with that. The other thing, it just occurs to me when we're talking local to local, is that it's conceptually kind of hard to firm that up, because we have basically a state entity here in which locals participate, that is trying to figure out how the state can encourage locals to do this. And I just think that I don't really have anything to offer, but I don't know that we've discussed anything that you could have put in there that would strengthen it. But I do think we should give some thought to other means of, encouraging the way, if a state could encourage the development of ADRCs in other parts of the state, or give some support or direction or something, guidance to them, to communities, as to how to communicate together with each other. Fundamentally, it's ultimately going to be a local and community issue. But
right.
I just kind of, encourage is not a very active verb. I'm just wondering if there's something out there that somebody more versed in this than I am could offer that would firm that up a little bit. That's just food for thought. It's not anything I'm demanding to get taken care of right now.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. I think that that's true, that when I was looking at that section, one of the things that jumps out is that, in a way, the state doesn't necessarily play a direct role in local-to-local networking when it happens. And so, nor do a lot of local providers want that state influence. And so how do we make recommendations, being an interagency council at the state level about this? It is kind of a hard thing to conceptualize. I don't know if Donnie or Amy, you have any thoughts about that? Local providers.
That's a coffee.
Yeah.
Because I guess how do you think a plan of this nature really motivate local providers to become more connected and want to accomplish the things that this plan is trying to accomplish?
Hmm. Well, we kind of touched on that last time in terms of providing incentives. If you provide information that's relevant to workers' positions, and you're able to, demonstrate the value, then, folks will participate. Again, I think, continuing education units are a good incentive. But that's really the hardest population to reach in a lot of ways, because of the issue we talked about last time. If it's no one's job responsibility, who's going to move that forward?
Right. Right. Well, and we can, I know that in that section,
I pursue it. Let's see. The section where we mentioned the training, that's what it was. On page 2, you know, I did provide very briefly something about partnering with professional associations, having some type of reward of the continuing education or certification maintenance credits. And I'm wondering, do we need to maybe beef that up or put it also in the local to local? I don't know if that would even work. I'm just throwing out thoughts. But I see what you mean by incentives, and I wonder if we need to maybe highlight that a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to highlight if we can come up with the adequate incentives.
Right.
You know, you guys might want to consider creating some kind of a housing specialist certification that, you know, local agencies could send staff or volunteers through training, and they would have, you know, this certification that, and I'm not sure, you know, what the value of that would be, but that's kind of how the benefits counseling training has been structured at the state level. They've identified several key knowledge sets. They've developed a training program, and anybody who goes through the training and completes the test is then qualified to present him or herself as a certified benefits counselor. And so, you know, for some prospective volunteers, having a badge with the certification is an incentive for them to get involved. For a lot of people who are, you know, just starting out and kind of building their resume, that certification carries weight in their eyes and hopefully in employers' eyes.
That's the next one, idea.
Yeah, that's great. And can I ask you a little bit more about that, the benefits counseling training? Is that run by dads?
Dads kind of assumes the lead. It's actually a partnership between 3 state agencies, DADS, the Texas Department of Insurance, and Texas Legal Services Center. So all of the agencies contributed to the training modules, and I think there are 10 or 12 of them. And so as area agencies on aging train their staff and their volunteers, they use that core curriculum. The 3 state agencies have developed a test of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so in order to be certified, people have to go through 24 hours of classroom time. They have to pass a written test, you know, with at least 70% correct. And in some cases, they actually have to serve a little internship. Mm-hmm. But
and is this something that what is the time frame? Like, how long are people involved in this before they become officially certified?
Well, different, and it's a program that's implemented locally through the Area Agencies on Aging. There's some flexibility. Our agency has done a series of, I think, 5 days of classroom training, usually, you know, 1 day a week for 5 or 6 consecutive weeks. But as long as that core curriculum is used, there really aren't any constraints on, you know, how many days it takes you to get through the information.
Okay.
Recently, you know, the developers of the curriculum have given local groups some flexibility in adding content, removing content. I think that's far too complicated.
And right. Well, I think that we would not get too much into the specifics, but I think that that is a great model that we could recommend using, but using for TDHCA and perhaps trying to do a partnership with local organizations. With the state agency. As making sure that it can be implemented through certain local organizations. So that's
I think that's great. I think we should actually make its own. That should be its own recommendation, I think. Mm-hmm. So we will add that.
And if that's an approach that works, you know, one idea in reaching some of the players, certainly not all the players, would be to see about expanding the benefits counseling curriculum.
Okay.
Because that's the curriculum that we've used to train our, I think we have about 50 or 60 volunteer benefits counselors.
Okay. And Donnie, do you think that kind of the way that I had written about the website, either creating a new one or working off a current model, do you think that it would be beneficial to add the housing piece into the benefits counseling curriculum or to keep those separate?
Well, I think the more you can get the information out there, the better. I mean, I would suggest looking at both. I would not go with the benefits counseling alone because there's so much other stuff that comes along with that.
Right.
And depending on the professionals or the volunteer's position, that may be way too much information.
Right. I see what you're saying. And Donnie, could you, I don't know what kind of information you could get me about the benefits counseling, because I would love to just see kind of what the module training modules look like, or how it kind of plays out. I guess you could say if you have anything to send me.
Yeah, it's several hundred pages, but I can do that.
Okay. Well, maybe if you only feel like giving me the relevant part. Okay. Thank you, Donnie.
You bet.
Okay. So thank you for that. I think those are great recommendations. Do we have anything else that we want to talk about with Chapter 8, or should we move on? Okay, we can move on. So as I said before, we will take your recommendations that you said here as well as anything that you email me. Over the next week, how about we say over the next week until next Thursday, the 13th, and whatever you email me, and I will revise this draft to update it with our thoughts and inclusions, and also work on Chapter 5, the barriers, and try to get that out to you guys as well, so we can get feedback on the barriers discussion that we had. And then next steps for the committee, our next meeting is the 20th? Is that what I sent out? No, I don't know where I have my answer.
Yes, it's the 20th.
20th? Okay. I think that maybe kind of based on, because I think that Nick is right, that in order to have Chapter 8, you need Chapter 7, which is state-to-state agency. So we should have that discussion, I think, next. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
Okay. So let's make sure that is our next discussion topic is the state-to-state education and training, and we'll also do some reviewing of draft chapters as well at our next meeting. Also, I don't think Sherry's on the line, but I had an email conversation with her about how we're supposed to have a face-to-face cross-agency committee meeting, I believe in July, the same week that we're having our council working meeting that we scheduled for July 9th. So I don't really think that it's necessary for us to have the face-to-face cross-agency meeting so close to the full council meeting. What do you guys think?
My only thought on that would be, if we're going to have it, can we move it to Thursday instead of Tuesday so I don't just come to Austin twice in 1 week?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think that these conference calls are going well. I'm not sure what additional things we would really have on the agenda for that July face-to-face meeting. So, I mean, if it's okay with you guys, I might as well just change it, and I'll change it to whatever day Amy chooses for a conference call.
Okay.
Yeah, a conference call is fine. I mean, Tuesday is fine for a conference call. I just didn't want to have to. I looked at that. I was like, wow, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, no, and I realized that, and Sherry realized that last week. So we'll make that change from a face-to-face to a conference call for the July meeting. And then also wanted to just remind everyone that I want to see all your beautiful faces on Monday for our full council meeting at 10 a.m. And I know that Nick has a responsibility that takes precedent, and so he might be having a representative represent him. But we will be having a presentation to us by the Department of State Health Services Continuity of Care Task Force that I think will be interesting in terms of the ways that this council can extend its partnerships with other state agencies and other other task forces. It's not even a word. And it'll be a quick meeting, so you all get out of the meeting on Monday in time for lunch. Don't worry. Jonas asked me that question. He wanted to make sure he could eat lunch.
And what time does that start? Is that 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
And where is that going to be?
It's going to be at the same place that we had the April 6th cross-agency committee meeting. So it's in the old MHMR Center.
Yeah,
on 45th. So same place we met on April 6th. So are we good? Any other thoughts? Questions, concerns? All right. Well, I got you guys out 45 minutes early, so
thank you.
Enjoy your 5 minutes.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.